CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my...
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Republican presidential hopefuls were making their case for the nomination Saturday in Iowa. Many of them took part in Senator Joni Ernst's annual Roast and Ride event. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said,
"We need to dispense with the culture of losing that has beset the Republican Party in recent years."
The frontrunner in the Republican polls, former President Donald Trump, was not in attendance. China and the U.S. blaming one another after a close call at sea between ships from the two countries. The U.S. has a Chinese vessel cut in front of a U.S. craft in the Taiwan Strait. China's blaming the U.S. for provocation. OPEC nations meeting today in Vienna. They could agree to cut production, which could cause fuel costs to increase. Labor action is disrupting work at 29 major ports on the West Coast from Long Beach to Seattle as dock workers have been unable to come to an agreement on a new contract. This is ABC News. Railway officials in India are blaming a signaling system error for causing a train to switch onto the wrong track, and that led to Friday's derailment that killed more than 300 people and left over 1,000 injured. In the U.S., a federal judge in Tennessee struck down a law that made it illegal to hold drag shows. ABC's Elwin Lopez has details.
Many supporters in Tennessee are rejoicing after a federal judge struck down an anti-drag law that was passed in March, banning adult cabaret shows from public property or anywhere minors might be. If it had been enforced, first-time offenders could have been charged with a misdemeanor. Now, the federal judge appointed by former President Trump rejected the law, finding it to be both unconstitutionally vague and substantially overbroad.
Four people were killed Saturday. Seven others were hurt in Missouri when a car crossed the center line of State Route 39 in the southwest part of the state and struck five motorcycles. 51-year-old woman who was driving the Toyota was arrested on suspicion of impairment. Brian Clark, ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Great to listen to while having a Liney's and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two of Wisconsin's largest cities land in the top 20 in a new ranking of city parks. Mike Moen reports.
The nonprofit Trust for Public Land has issued its annual Park Score rankings. They're based on five metrics, including access, acreage, investment, and amenities. Madison was 13th on the list, with Milwaukee coming in at number 20. The organization also released a report on the power of parks to promote public health. The Trust for Public Land's Dr. Howard Frumkin says urban parks offer specific benefits.
Lowering the temperature in the neighborhood, which helps people withstand heat waves. Lowering noise levels, noise being a very common urban stressor.
Meanwhile, the top five cities include two from Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Others high up on the list are Washington, D.C., which is number one. Researchers found in many places, park planning and programs cater to underserved groups or those needing improved accessibility. Linda Wang, also with the Trust for Public Land, says innovation and creativity can vary among different park agencies.
We're seeing people with different types of mobility issues. Can we really be thinking about all-inclusive design, for example? Custom programming, custom design is something that we didn't expect to find, and so it's just been a really nice surprise for us to see that.
The report also found that among some large cities, including New York and Chicago, investments in parks have declined, but Wang says there are some positive signs in mid-sized cities.
I think one of the significant challenges is around investments. So that is one of the categories that we track in the Park Score Index.
For park investments, Madison and Milwaukee scored closer to average, but did better in terms of access. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flint Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Diamond Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When you...
Welcome back to Crazed in Wisco. This means it is a Thursday in Wisconsin. It's absolutely beautiful weather. I am loving today. A little windy, as though Wisconsinites say. It would be nice if it weren't for the wind.
Correct. I would have been fishing if it wasn't for the wind today.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I mean, I would have been working if... Yeah, I was working all day, 10 hours a day, back to those summer hours, so woohoo! Yay me! All right, so this... Do you hear... Do you guys hear you?
Little echo?
Yeah. Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, but in a good way, Danielle.
So, hello. I hear ourselves replaying in the headphones.
How about now?
What
did I do?
Nope, I hear it again. Oh, well. Well, if you guys can double
it again?
Yeah, like I can still hear us.
Like a playback. Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now I did magic.
Everybody, this is our wonderful producer, Anastasia. We love her so much. She is the magic touch over there. Thank you very much. All right, let's start over. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. There is no echo. I am very, very, very excited about this because I've had just a mother-daughter or mother-son or just a father's son, whatever. But we have three-fourths of the family. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about this. Well, we're going to include the dog, too. Mm-hmm. Their dog Ranger is not here. I was super excited, as most of you guys know, about my dog Ranger. So I was so super excited. But this just means you guys have to come back with Ranger and Gunner.
Yeah. Gunner.
That's another topic for another day.
Gunner is the dog Amanda and I are trying to convince him to get. So, which I feel like everybody should call 844-967-2789 to help us convince him.
Yes.
All right. So let me introduce you guys. Amanda, Jace, Matt, Tojek. This is, you know how I am with social media. I follow a few people religiously. And I always see you post about everything. And you have the family along with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's literally an inspiration. I don't have any kids myself. Like, one day, maybe I'll have a kid. Who knows? But my dog, Bandit, is my kid right now. He goes everywhere with me. But I can't imagine. You guys have two kids, a boy and a girl. How old are you, Jace?
Nine.
And how old is Shayna.
She's seven.
Seven. Like, that's like the perfect age. Mm-hmm. You guys are enjoying the outdoors, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's your first memory of going out with your mom or dad?
Like, the first one.
Like, going out hunting or fishing?
I think my first memory going hunting or fishing, it would be fishing with my dad with my first rod.
Yeah. What was it like? Do you remember it?
I think it was a St. Croix.
Yeah. What were you catching?
I think that day we were catching bluegills.
Bluegills? That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect to start off. And
gotta start somewhere.
How nice is it for him to remember that? Like, that's his memory to come up with.
He's got a lot of memories. The last couple of years, yeah, he's been busy. So we've been getting a lot of firsts and a lot of topping, and he's got me beat on a few species. So.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What species do you know?
The salmon.
A salmon?
A king salmon.
I was not expecting that. That yeah, makes me very happy. So tell me about your king salmon.
So my king salmon was, how many pounds was it?
Yeah, it was 25 pounds, 7 ounces or so.
Yeah.
When I was reeling it in, it was really hard.
What happened when you were reeling that fish in for about 15 minutes? You can say.
No, you can.
Regardless, he did not make it the whole time. He had to take a potty break halfway through.
A potty break?
It was so long of a fish that, you know, obviously was peel and drag like crazy.
Oh, yeah, I believe
Biggest salmon I've ever had in my boat. And he did it all 100% himself besides that 1 minute potty break. I just held the rod, held pressure on the fish as it was peeling.
Nice.
And then he took over. And
hey, when nature calls, you got to go. You got to go.
Yep.
It's going to happen later on in life again, too. It won't be your last. Joel will be so proud that I already brought up, you know, going to the bathroom in the outdoors in my first segment. He's going to be very proud of us right now. speaking of, I forgot to introduce myself and Joel. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. Joel, our mighty, mighty fearless leader, he is in Africa.
Lucky.
I know. I would love to go to Africa. I would love to go overseas hunting or fishing or anything.
What's he after out there, or down there, I should say?
I should be a good friend / co-host and know this.
Something cool.
Something. We'll he always does something cool.
Yeah.
Like, he is living the life that I want to live. One day I could. Who knows? Who knows? If we could get there. But, yeah, he went out there, I believe, yesterday or Tuesday night.
Okay.
And he'll be out there for 2 weeks. So next week, you guys got me, too. Or is next week June 1st?
I believe so.
On June 1st, we will have actually a rerun. So hopefully this episode, maybe we can take another episode on here right away. Sure. But I'll be gone as well. I have to do a MC auctioneer thing for a banquet. So I will be gone as well. But Amanda.
Yes.
Hello. Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what's your hunting and fishing memories?
Well, Matt was the one that first introduced me to hunting and fishing when I was 15. He was 17. So.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. How long have you guys known each other?
20 years together.
Aw.
Yeah. Yeah, high school.
Yep.
Oh, that's so perfect.
My first diamond was a Bowtech, so. Yep.
Nice.
Your first bowl was a diamond.
Diamond.
Bowl. No, I understand what she said. I understand that diamond. Yeah. I just got my first diamond earrings. So I'm very excited about it. I know what you meant by that.
Yeah.
But that's perfect. What were you shooting with that first bow? Do you still have it?
Yes, I do, actually. It's set up for bow fishing now. So he just upgraded me to a Muzzy after our Gulf Shores fishing experience.
Are gonna get to that on the second segment because I wanna hear all about these stingrays.
It's amazing.
Cause what?
Fun trip, second time down there, and it's something, it's a must-do if you're ever down in the Gulf. That saltwater bow fishing is on another level compared to what we have up here.
Yeah, we're going to leave that for the next time. Okay, so back to your diamond.
Yes, so we did a couple turkey hunts, and then I had babies and opened a salon, so I was on a hunting hiatus for a little bit. But
yeah, so you're a little busy.
Yeah. Yep, but we just always fished together, too. So
yeah, you guys have tons of pictures together.
Mm-hmm.
It is so perfect. It's like you guys are the inspirational family. Yep.
Usually I catch the first one.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Well, now that you're, you know, master of the boat, you catch them all first usually. But mom was the first.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm always the last. I feel like when I go out fishing with people, I'm like, you know, my time will come. It'll happen. Well, when I went out salmon fishing probably about 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
With Mike Keller on his new boat, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys got a lot of fish that day.
We had a five. There's what, three? You can get three per person.
Five.
Because
three lines.
Let me.
Might be thinking of three lines.
Yeah, I'm thinking of three lines per person. Yep. There were five people. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense because math. We limited out 25. Okay. Math is hard sometimes. Leave me alone.
No math on the radio.
But yeah, we did pretty good. And I forgot what it was like to eat those. I haven't fished for salmon or coho or anything like that for like 6-7 months prior.
Yeah.
And it was just.
That's why I got into it, is just because these guys love eating it. Same thing with all the species. But yeah, salmon, we went out Monday and we had it 3 hours later on the grill. So.
Oh, you went out Monday?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to ask where you went, but like, what was your salmon trip like?
Yeah, we did actually real good. First trip out, finally the wind played nice and it was almost glass out there.
Ooh.
And I took my stepdad out and we got 9 out of 10. We had 9 for 12.
Yeah.
And we fished that last hour trying to get that 10th, but just did not happen. But we had a few doubles, lost one king. It was fun, but all real good eater cohos.
Is your dad does he fish often for salmon? Is this like newer to
this
him?
Is something that I just kind of picked up the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
I work with some guys that kind of talked me into it. I was doing mostly walleye, muskie, and bow fishing, and then I work at Oak Creek Power Plant, so I see all these guys salmon fishing all the time.
And, that has to be so daunting. Like, I just want to swim out there with you right now.
Especially when it's glass, and then you're one day off, it's four-footers. So, so yeah, they talked me into it, and it's addictive, especially when you get a big king on like Jace. I mean, we got a lot of fish over 20 pounds last year. So you get any kings of that size, it's they fight a lot differently than you know, any other species.
They definitely do.
Very fun.
Yeah, reeling them out when they're 100 plus out there.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely get tired. I get bruises definitely for like putting it on my stomach, trying to reel it in. I'm like, what is this bump? Why am I sore here the next 2 days? I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Definitely reeling those babies in. Yep. But what kind of boat do you have for that?
Do you use
the same boat that you did for walleye fishing?
Yeah, so right now I have a multi-species boat. So I fish out of a 20-foot fiberglass Ranger, and I got it set up for salmon, for muskies, and walleyes are kind of the main three we go after.
Yeah.
We got a camper up on Castle Rock Lake, and so we fish there quite a bit, and that's total multi-species. So catfish, white bass, bluegills, walleyes, everything. Anything that bites for the most part. And then switch it out for salmon, and then the next day I switch it out for muskies. So just kind of...
I've never gone muskie fishing.
I was going to this morning.
I keep saying I want to, but this is as far as it goes. I want to do it, but...
It's a battle. It's a grind.
And probably two other people I know that actually set up for muskie fishing.
Yeah, we do a lot. We travel. I mean, fishing local is kind of tough, but Green Bay is an awesome fishery, so we do go up there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And do fairly well up there, but... It's a grind. It's not for everybody. Like, I haven't brought him into it because, you know, my thing with him is when he's willing and ready and asks to go, then I'll take him.
I've went with you just...
Bass fishing. Yeah,
I went bass fishing, but him and his dad, he went musky fishing.
Yeah. You're a little small to be throwing the big one-pounders.
Like... They're pretty hard to catch.
Yeah. And just reeling those babies in. Some of them are even bigger than the... A salmon and everything.
Yeah, kings, they can be. They can be. I got baits that are 2 pounds. So
jeez.
Yeah, you're feeling it from the end of a day.
And you're just trolling like you do for walleye and
casting
salmon.
Mostly. Yep.
Oh, for muskies?
Yep.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, we prefer casting. We do a lot of trolling up in Green Bay later in the year in the fall, and then that's gravy. That's just like going out on salmon fishing, just kind of relaxing, watching your planer boards, and hopefully you get a rip.
But. See, we're going out walleye fishing this weekend up. Near Oshkosh area?
Sure.
And then we're going to travel around because when you fish the same lakes over and over, you're just like, okay, well, let's go try something new.
Yeah, it's good to get out and try different stuff. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince Bill to go out bass fishing, but he is a hardcore waterfowler. Oh, not waterfowler, sorry. Walleye fisherman.
Yeah.
WW, whatever. And we catch him. We definitely catch him, but I want to go bass fishing. Mm-hmm. And then just... So let me go bass. I want to catch the big old bucket mouth, and I just want to hold it.
I'm the same way as him.
Belly just drooping.
It's hard to go bass fishing after everything else, but if I have the kids in the boat, then it's, all right, game on.
Yeah, with walleye, you're trolling nonstop, but with bass fishing, you're just standing there casting. And...
We like to eat a few, though, so I guess that's where we like the walleyes.
Yeah.
So he's still on that, which is good.
Yeah, well, perfect. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about... The golf trip. I am very looking forward to this because I definitely creeped and showed tons of people the Steenray. And I want to know about Steenrays. I want to know about all this golfing trip because one day, who knows what happens. Oh, and we have a caller. We'll get to the caller when we get back.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr. The enticing smell of fresh baked goods, breads, rolls, pies, cookies, and more. This isn't just a bakery. It's Just Dane's Just Bakery, a training program for people dealing with employment barriers. Learn more and order now for your next get-together at justdane.org. Justdane.org.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flint Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. This is Jace. Let's talk about turkey hunting.
Let's talk about turkey hunting. Nice work. He's going to be the new co-host. You're going to take my spot. Bill's going to want you instead of me. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, well, Jace, you could at least fight for it. All right, so yeah, let's talk about turkey hunting. Tell me about your turkey.
So when we got there, we actually heard turkeys gobbling before we even got to the blind, so we were trying to stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we got to the blind, we started setting out all our decoys. And then once we were done with that, we got my gun loaded, make sure the safety was on. Like 15 minutes later, he came in. And then he came, his tail feathers were up. He was coming for the Jake.
Yeah.
And then once he got there, he started beating up the Jake.
Oh, did he? I've never seen an actual turkey fight a Jake before.
Yeah, with his spurs, he was like hitting him.
Oh my
gosh.
Kicking him, huh?
How'd you feel about that?
Yeah, he was kicking him.
Were you just like smiling?
I never saw that happen before.
No.
So he was facing the other way, so I couldn't get a shot. And then he turned around, and then I shot in the head.
In the head? Yeah. Not in the neck and in the head? You got
right in the head.
Right in the head?
Right in the face.
Right in the face. Nice. What did you do? Were you super excited?
I was super excited, but he did like the death flop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the death flop gets me sometimes too.
Yeah, you can't walk up to it when it's doing that.
No, because what will happen?
He'll kick you with your spurs and you just get cut up everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can. Those things are very, very sharp.
Yeah.
You must have been listening to me all these years, huh?
Look at that. Yeah. See, now you guys got to be so proud.
And he got me beat on that one, too. That was the heaviest bird that I've ever seen down here, at least. So
yeah.
Do you remember how heavy the bird was, Jace?
I think it...
25-11.
Yeah. So it's almost the same as a salmon.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. So 20. We're going to say mid-20s is your lucky number. We got to figure out your lucky number. What about the beard? How long was the beard? Do you remember?
I think it was around 10 inches.
10 inches? Nice. Yep.
So also when we got home we made turkey nuggets instead of chicken nuggets.
Ooh.
And then we also my dad shot one, I think it was like a year ago, so we were both doing our turkey mounts.
Perfect.
Oh, we did the fans, yeah.
The fans.
Had them on the board, and of course Chase is about 2 inches a little bit bigger, a little wider.
I feel like you got some competition growing up.
That's good. I'll take
He's gonna kick your booty.
Keeps me motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about your sister? Do you ever think you'll bring your sister out?
Maybe, but
she's not as quiet as you, I think.
She's the talker.
She'll be talking a lot.
Yeah. She'll be talking a lot, but if you're in a ground blind, you can kind of talk and move.
True.
Yeah.
Because I'm a chick. I like talking too.
When
sometimes.
You're shooting, you can't move your barrel. Otherwise, they'll probably run.
Because their eyesight's superb, yeah. Right? Yeah. My turkey hunting,
he was looking like straight at us.
Was
though.
He?
Oh. So then I got a shot before he ran.
Good job. With me, I didn't get a turkey. You beat me.
Did yeah. you see any on
oh
your
my
nights out?
Goodness, I did. And man, oh man. So I went out. I'm hunting four fields. Three of them are smaller ones and then one big one. And there's like a big old swamp right in the middle. So it's just straight mosquitoes. Whatever. It happens. And as I'm walking out, I see a hen over here. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm going to stop and like sneak around the other way because it was before shooting time. And she's down already, just grazing around. I'm like, why are you here? Can you not be? Okay. So then I walk around to another spot and I see some more hens and all of a sudden I hear a gobble and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sneak into here and everything. And then I hear another gobble and I'm calling back and it's just me. I go up hunting by myself mostly. And, oh, Bill's always working or fishing. Sure. Then I choose turkey hunting. And then just gobble, gobble, gobble. And all of a sudden they just shut up because all of a sudden some coyotes just come running through all the fields. And I'm like, oh, so you guys just scared away my turkeys.
So oh, like, that yeah. reminds me. My dad was going turkey hunting and he shot a coyote.
Yeah, good. You're saving the other birds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're saving all the animals.
My grandma found just like the wings of a bird because a coyote ate all of the upper part.
Yeah, they're kind of a pest. We have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Mhm. And we're gonna talk about the big coyotes, the wolves. The last segment. Stay tuned if you want to talk about the wolves. Give us a call at 844-967-2789 to talk about your turkey hunting. But for my turkey, when I came back from lunch, I'm taking my nap. I got out there right to where my decoys were because I left them out. And the turkey just went bloop and just walked right back into the woods. And then I didn't see anything for the rest of the night, didn't hear anything for the rest of the night. The next morning, I heard them, but they were never coming by me. They would talk back to me, but nothing.
Sure, they
nothing
can be tough.
At all. And then I saw Jake got close, but I don't know what was in the woods. And also then it just said nope and turned around and walked away. I'm like, oh, well, this is not my year for turkey hunting.
Didn't you say, like, there was, like, I think there was, didn't you say there was another hen, like, in, like, the back of the field? Like, didn't you see something back there?
My turkey hunt lasted 3 hours this year. I worked all but one day, so I had one morning to hunt.
Yeah.
And I just went out to the same blind we had set up for him, and I had a real hen in my spread and my decoys, and she was in there all morning, 45 minutes or so. I just kept calling, and she's grazing around, whatever. I was actually playing on my phone. I kind of see something out of the corner of my eye, and a yote came running out about 100 yards, just locked right in on that live hen. Mm-hmm. So I squealed with my lips real quick, and it kind of turned him, and he came up towards my Jake and my hen. But then, of course, the live hen took, you know, he was just locked on her. So he turned, I squeaked, and shot at probably about 40 yards and just rolled it. So
nice.
Got lucky on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no turkey for me, but at least we helped the farmer out. He's very appreciative of turkeys and coyotes.
Nice.
He wants them all gone. But
didn't he say, like, he eats his crops and stuff?
Yep, they do a lot of damage. The turkeys, he's a vegetable farmer. And and they go in there and wreak havoc, and obviously the coyotes are eating his chickens.
Oh, yeah, that definitely happens. And just like that, we're already halfway over. I don't understand why this is the fastest hour I've ever had. When we get back, I want to talk to you about your turkey hunting. Have you gone turkey hunting?
Just in the early years.
Early years. Yep. All right,
we'll get her back.
We still haven't talked about the darn golf trip. Yeah. Oh, I hate when this happens. Stay tuned. We also have the interview with Ted Nugent. Stay tuned. 844-967-2789. Stones may break me when the words you said just tore my heart in two.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Republican presidential hopefuls were making their case for the nomination Saturday in Iowa. Many of them took part in Senator Joni Ernst's annual Roast and Ride event. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said,
"We need to dispense with the culture of losing that has beset the Republican Party in recent years."
The frontrunner in the Republican polls, former President Donald Trump, was not in attendance. China and the U.S. blaming one another after a close call at sea between ships from the two countries. The U.S. has a Chinese vessel cut in front of a U.S. craft in the Taiwan Strait. China's blaming the U.S. for provocation. OPEC nations meeting today in Vienna. They could agree to cut production, which could cause fuel costs to increase. Labor action is disrupting work at 29 major ports on the West Coast from Long Beach to Seattle as dock workers have been unable to come to an agreement on a new contract. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Gathered's Farmers Market Series is back with artisanal food, craft cocktails, craft beer, and a curated playlist featuring touring bands complimentary of Nicolet Bank. Every Wednesday this summer until September 24th, our doors will be opening at 4 p.m. with concerts starting on June 14th and running through August 16th. This year, we're also excited to feature some exclusive Hinterland brews along with our ever-expanding list of signature Gathered cocktails. Grab a drink, find a spot, and enjoy Gathered's Farmers Market Series every Wednesday through September 2nd. This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Kripescast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
You do a very fine job in the stage, I promise. There's just some songs that get you.
Yep.
Welcome back. So we were talking Turkey Hunting. All right, let's talk about your younger days. Well, you're still young. Your earlier days, sorry. Wrong word.
Yep.
Turkey Hunting. Tell me about your Turkey Hunting.
Oh, gosh, that was so long ago. Who was that with? Just you and me in a former co-worker's cornfield and ground blind and...
I don't even remember that. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah. Oh, no. I guess he used to feed his turkeys out of his hot tub or something is what I remember. Yeah. They used to come right up to his hot tub and he'd feed them. Who was that? I don't remember now. But it was a blast.
You harvested a turkey, though.
No, not that year. No. Haven't yet. So Jace has one up to me so far.
Oh, we have to get you out then.
We do.
Now that the kids are both, an older age or a little easier to get a babysitter for, we can get Amanda back out in the field a little bit.
That'd be perfect.
That's this year's goal. Yeah. Jace is going to be doing hunter safety, so he'll be my co-partner and all that fun stuff coming up. So
yeah,
I feel like there was three topics in there that I want to talk about, but I'm going to stop getting sidetracked.
Yeah,
please, please, please tell me about this golf.
Ugh, it's the most beautiful place ever.
Yeah, you said your happy place. What did you post?
It was mostly Amanda's happy place.
Yeah, we went down there summers, spring breaks. My grandparents used to rent down there, and it's just a beautiful place. So finally I got to get him to see the magic of it and then, rope him in with some bow fishing too. So.
I said I'd go, but we gotta shoot something if we're going south. So.
Yeah, your pictures, you're smiling ear to ear.
Oh, it was a blast.
It looked like so peaceful, the greatest trip ever.
It was awesome.
So how did you find these stingrays to shoot?
Oh, well, there's a calmer bay that they took us in. So, it's so clear, they're just right there and just majestic and so much slower to shoot than carp. those suckers are wiggly and
they are, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and then
poof of dust and all on the ground. Not dust, obviously, but they're very
unpressured down there. It's not as popular as up here. Yeah. So, the fish you do see, they do run a little bit here and there, but you can shoot pretty much anything in Alabama, which is cool.
Mm.
So anything, no redfish, no dolphin, obviously, but we had big black drum, big southern rays, Atlantic rays, cow nose rays, and they fight really, really, really well. So, you need 2, 3, 4 arrows. This guy me and her.
Yeah, we're just tag teaming.
Yeah, he had 8 bows set up, and I'm like, man, it's just me and her. And he's you'll never know. If you shoot a 100-pounder, we want 8 arrows in it.
Wow.
So you got to be ready because they're there. Mm-hmm. So that night we shot about a 30, which is, a decent-sized southern ray.
She's heavy.
But, and it pulls just like a big buffalo that you'd shoot up here.
You shoot them right in the smack there of the body, right?
Yeah,
in the head,
try to.
Pretty much anywhere.
They get a little fragile out in the wings.
Yeah.
And then we actually gigged for flounder, which was something different on the trip, which was kind of cool. And that's
you
actually
did what? You gigged?
Gigged them, yeah. So it's just basically a spear. and you roll up with the lights and just ease it into the water and get it, you know, 3-4 inches from it. And just a quick little stab, and they were delicious.
They were fabulous.
Yeah, were they? So how did you prepare them? Did they cut them up for you? What was it like? Did you flay them?
I did them in the condo. With,
it was rough.
I feel like this is a fun story.
With a very dull steak knife. Because I did not have a fillet knife. I figured he would have done them quick for me. But so we did them at 2 in the morning because I wanted them fresh and, you know, I put them on milk overnight, and they're super white, flaky. If anybody out there never had flounder, it's actually really good. So we baked the next day. We baked 2 of the fish, and then we actually tore it up at Floribama Bar that night, and then came back at 2 or 3 in the morning, and we fried that third fish. So we ate them all, and
phenomenal.
So filleting these rays, how?
So the rays
me through that.
We didn't fillet these.
I'm envisioning something completely different.
Yeah, well, what was it? 4 years ago we were down there last?
Yeah.
Then we actually kept the Atlantic stingrays. They're smaller, and they're like scallops. So you fillet, you get little back straps off of them, and we cut them up. And her grandpa was actually down there in a condo, and we put them in like spaghetti. And
spaghetti?
Yeah, and it was...
Just breaded them and fried them.
Nice.
It's just like a scallop, you know. But actually down there, they see a lot of them you buy in a store. They're labeled scallops, but it's technically an Atlantic stingray. But this trip, we concentrated on the flounder and then the big southern ray, which get the biggest, I guess, of the area. Very fun. Clear water, and you never know what's around the next corner. Sharks, dolphins, it's full aquarium when you're driving around on the boat. It's very cool.
I definitely want to go shark fishing one day.
I couldn't get her out on the big water, you know, fishing, so we settled for bull fishing.
We did a deep sea fish. Oh, gosh, I think I was probably 13. I don't know. We hit some 10, 12-foot waves, and I think everyone but my grandpa got sick.
Oh, no.
But he caught a record grouper, so he was thrilled.
Yeah, makes up for it a little bit.
Yeah, but never again.
Never again? Have you tried at all, like going out on Winnebago when it's nice and windy? Like, have you tried that? Because that gets kind of tippy.
Yeah, he's usually
I'm picking the days wisely because I don't want to ruin them. It's bad enough the stuff I take my stepdad out in because it's like one day off, we're going.
Just get beat up.
Yeah, with Jace, I pick certain days because I hate to ruin them young, and they never want to come back.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good idea. I remember when last year I went out with Fishing Magician out of Algoma.
Okay.
And it was for my birthday, and I'm going to go. It's my birthday. Like, right?
Heck yeah.
And he's like, well, we don't have to. It was... The bell was just I don't know if someone else was ringing it, but the bell was just ringing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, we're just rocking back and forth. And there were 6 of us in the boat. Only one person got seasick, seasick, probably like you did when you were 13. And I'm like, we're not turning around.
I think we all lost a day of our lives after that when we all just slept. It was rough.
Luckily, I'm knocking on wood, I've never got seasick.
Same here. Yeah, I've been lucky. Been on some rough stuff, but...
Yeah, you just... For me, every time I feel like I'm going to just look at one spot on the horizon. Just
as long as you can see the shore, that helps.
But if you're looking at a bird or something, you just got waves upon waves. You can't see nothing.
Right.
Oh, man. But with the waves, speaking of waves like that, when you're in a... Have you been layout boat duck hunting?
That's on my bucket list.
I've actually done something you haven't.
No, I've shot divers and everything, but layout boat hunt is... The last couple of years, I've been really thinking about doing it. Just timing, getting up and getting right
time. That reminded me with the waves, because it's like an actual layout boat. I call it a UFO. And you just lay out, and you have a little back up there so the water doesn't splash on you, but you're right at the water level.
Sure.
Just cool. Waves. You just, if it's a 3-foot wave, you're just like, oh, all right.
Just rolling with it.
This is fun. There's the decoy. There's the decoy gone. There's the decoy. And it's gone. Yep. Nope.
Yeah, that's bucket list. Some old squads out there that'll... Oh, yeah. Maybe this year. We'll see.
It's definitely fun. You can do it with Gunner.
We could do it with Gunner.
We got Ranger.
Let's get Gunner. He needs a brother.
Yes, he does.
Maybe.
Oh, this is awesome.
All right, maybe.
You got to. All right.
Okay, what else happened on this trip? So, are you going to go back when you go back down to the Gulf? Are you going to go bow fishing again, or?
I think we gotta. Yeah. We're actually going with her brothers. She's got a brother in Colorado and another brother that lives close to us, and we're going a big 3 family trip next year. And I think we'll do. Gotta do something. At least fishing. Bull fishing is really not that great in the winter down there, so I think we're going February. It really starts picking up in April, May, June, just kind of like up here.
Nice.
So we'll see. We'll figure out something.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, do you think I can ever get you to go noodling with me?
Oh my God, I don't know.
I've been, every female that I have on here, I've been saying let's go noodling because I'm doing it all girls noodling trip.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I did it and one of the girls got a 42 pounder.
Wow.
42 pound catfish. She just pulled right out of the. Yeah.
I would be all for having her go.
Yeah.
I would.
I'll go on a girls trip.
Yep. And it's intimidating right away. Mm-hmm. And if you're scared of the water, I am terrified of water. If I can't touch the bottom, I'm freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like, unless I'm down in the Virgin Islands where I can just float, pretty much walk on water down there.
Yeah.
But we went down to Southern Illinois in Benton, Illinois with Wren Lake. And oh man, that water is dirty. Mm-hmm. And you just stick your hand into this hole. I'm like, okay, as long as it's 5 feet, mm-hmm. I can dive down and pull this thing out. My first one was only 18 pounds.
Wow. As long as nothing's nibbling on my toes, I think I'll be all right.
You can wear shoes. There's no way I'm going in any lake, mm-hmm. any river without shoes on at all. All
right, then I'm down.
I'm a sensory person. Like, I need, mm-hmm. if it's slimy or gross and grass. Nope.
I don't want the seaweeds in my toes. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. It's like when I'm kayaking. If I tip over in the weeds, mm-hmm. I'm freaking out.
Game over.
Done.
Full panic.
Might as well just not come get me. It's not happening. Nope. Mm-hmm. Now I got all the heebie-jeebies. Ugh. Yeah. Cannot do it. Okay, well, you guys are convincing me to go down to the golf.
You should.
I think I had...
It's amazing.
So, you know Jeb.
Yep.
I had a grouper with him. That was absolutely delicious.
Sure.
I believe I had a grouper with him. I'm sure it was. He feeds me so much food. But oh my goodness, she had it on the side. Rita had it on the side for an appetizer, and then she put it in like in this casserole that she made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, it was butter.
Yeah,
Just biting right through it. It's better than any northern, better than any walleye, any perch, anything I've ever had around here.
I agree. Yeah. Like even that flounder, I couldn't picture. I couldn't say what it tasted like for our fish up here, but it was totally just different. So but phenomenal.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we're gonna talk about wolf hunting. We're not there yet.
All right.
Well, we're going to get there. I'm so excited about this, too, because I've never thought about it, because in my head, it's like when a bear dies, they do the death moan. Mm. And it's like, I can't shoot a bear because I'm scared. That's the part that stops me, is I'm scared of the death moan.
Yeah.
I feel like wolves would cry like a dog.
No. That's the biggest thing. You can't compare them to a dog. It's on another level.
My first coyote that I shot was just a little sad because they look like dogs to me. Mm-hmm. But when you actually think about it, they are killing dogs out there. They're killing chickens. They're killing everything that we love.
Yeah, when you see them with a fawn or a cub in their mouth, then you gotta change your perspective.
Oh, but. Yeah. Yeah, I cannot do that. When I just thought, like I was saying last weekend or this past week, just running around with getting my chickens. Oh, Sandhill Cranes had two colts. And all of a sudden, the next day when I saw that coyote,
one probably.
There's no more colts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why? Why are you eating my little babies? And then I think a fawn was born behind me because all of a sudden it started bleeding. I'm like, oh, meh, meh. I'm like, oh, little baby, I want to come find you and cuddle with you. But I can't. I definitely cannot do that. bow fishing. I was told to talk to you guys about bow fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Jace, what do you think about bow fishing?
I was
going to
say, since we talked about bow fishing with stingrays, what about your bow fishing experience, your mental health day?
Jace was a little sick about 2 weeks ago when the carp were spawning, let's just say.
We just said that for school.
So what did we do with your sick day?
So we woke up at like 6.
You don't have to do the whole story, Jace. Did we shoot some fish or not?
Yes. We shot...
Just riding out the school.
We shot 160.
Did we fill the boat up till we could? We're just about sank Uncle Andy's boat. That's
about
what happened.
Four barrels. Yeah.
Four barrels? How big are these barrels? Like
150 gallon totes. And,
man.
Yeah, it was about 2,200 pounds of fish, we figured.
We would have filled the whole floor, but Andy didn't want anything on the floor at all.
Well, they're all slimy and gross too, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what it gets for having two
nice of a boat.
He just
didn't want that because he had hydro turf on the floor.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that'd be kind of slimy. Yeah. You'd be down there scraping it with a
toothbrush. He had to power wash it that night.
Oh, well, the smell of it, too.
Yeah.
But did you have fun?
How many did you shoot? Do you remember?
I don't know.
A lot?
A lot.
A lot, though.
Yeah.
How many years have you been bow fishing? Is this your first year?
No, I think when the first year...
It's probably been about
when I was
4 years
old, because...
4 years old?
Yeah, because we went bow fishing that, like, my first ever bow fishing was when we were at Alabama with you.
Oh, and yeah, he was actually in a golf the last time we were down there, and I took him instead of Amanda. She stayed with Shayna. And, yeah, Jace went out, and he shot, we shot those Atlantic stingrays and some Kalanoas that trip.
Some Kalanoas, nice. Were we with,
like, my grandma, like, Gigi?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Everybody knows this band is here, and there's a dog across the street. He's upset the dog's not coming over to say hello. Oh. what about other? I was trying to read the side of your bow fishing boat.
Well, my old one was DOA. It was just a team I had because I used to do tournaments, and I had a really nice boat set up for it. And then kind of life changed. The kids were looking to do other stuff, and honestly, we wanted a fishing boat more dedicated.
Yeah.
So I ended up selling it, and that's where we're at.
That's yeah, nice.
We built another one.
We built another one?
Another one maybe after this, too.
Nice.
Never enough.
Can you take me out for bow fishing, Jace?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, we got to do that. When we get back, we will go to the interview with Ted Nugent, the wolf hunting, because we have to talk about that.
Sounds good.
When we get back, why am I mumbling my words right now? Stay tuned, please. I'm riding with a smile. It's 'cause my little baby loves me, Cadillac style. Yeah, my little baby loves me.
Boat Tussle is building out the best fiber network in rural Wisconsin to deliver ultra-fast fiber internet where others can't or won't. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Boat Tussle is bringing fiber internet services to your area at an honest price without any contracts or data caps. Call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com and get connected with Boat Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment.
Just released from prison, in need of a job, but no one is hiring. Just Dane has been lifting people through these times of employment barriers for 50 years. And you can support this Madison nonprofit's important legacy and work. Join Civic Media by donating to Just Dane. Any amount will make a difference. Learn more and help now at justdane.org. That's justdane.org. Changing lives, changing the community. For 50 years, Just Dane.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
In Wisconsin. What is your take on that?
You know, if we manage the wolf like we manage white-tailed deer, as in an annual harvest of the surplus to keep the habitat balanced and the structure balanced, there are more deer than ever. Certainly, we want wolves to be in optimal thriving populations, but right now they're off limits. They're untouchable because of the lie that they're in danger. They're not in danger. Right. They're overpopulated in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. We should manage them within the carrying capacity of those resources and those habitats so that they maximize revenue generation and family hours of recreation. And again, Joel, I'm just a guitar player, but I figured this out as I was growing up in the deer woods of Michigan with my dad and Fred Bear. And I know that tradition is alive and well, but if the hunting families don't vote, then the anti-hunters and the animal rights liars and scammers, they will win. And currently they're winning with the wolf. So let's make sure that we vote and put pressure on our elected employees in the great state of Wisconsin to make sure that the wildlife, particularly the wolf, is in the asset column as a renewable resource instead of the liability column, which is a lie that they're endangered. They're not endangered. The whole state will be endangered if we don't manage wolves responsibly.
Yeah, and you know what? Right now, the wolves are decimating the populations of deer in northern Wisconsin. And I think sometimes, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes people who utilize the outdoors want to just use the outdoors and be stewards in the outdoors and want to be left alone. And I think one of the things that's tough to encourage them to do sometimes...
That was my interview with Ted Nugent. First, I have to say that was the greatest interview.
Very cool.
I got to talk to Uncle Ted.
Sure.
That was the coolest. That was the coolest one. I may have had a sick day, a mental health day from work, and had a talk with Ted. It was the greatest thing
That's
ever.
Worth it.
But he is the guru of the outdoors, pretty much. Right? You can follow anything you can think of. You can ask him. He'll have an answer for it.
Yeah.
He is a very smart man.
We grew up watching him, and he knows him. I've actually hunted on his ranch.
Spirit of the Wild.
So, yeah. Isn't like the talk with Ted thing, like where you get to talk about like what you did or like hunting?
He might have a thing like that, Chase.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. You watch YouTube a lot?
Yeah.
Just a little.
It could be on there probably. But
yeah, like talk with. Yeah, that's on there.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be perfect. We should get on there. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But you went wolf hunting, correct?
Three times, yeah, I did.
Three times?
It's a tough animal. It's still on the top of my list, but I did two trips to Ontario, I believe in 19 and 2020. 80 hours, dark to dark, dropped off on a snowmobile, and you're in a pop-up line, to dark. It was brutal. It was February, cold as heck. And, of course, I was the only guy at camp that never seen one or... Had a shot or anything, never seen anything. So I went out 2 years in a row, still nothing. And then 2021 came and Wisconsin reopened their season. So I put in for a tag and wouldn't you know, I got a tag, which is pretty crazy because it was very limited. And that was on like a Sunday night. Monday was the hunt.
Oh, geez.
And I was working, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, long story short, my buddy of mine shot one on Monday. And I called him to congratulate him, and he said, "Hey, don't get up here. There's deep snow. Let's see if you can have a sick day." So I took a mental health day on a Tuesday. I worked all day, and I went home, grabbed the gun, some warm clothes, drove way up north, and we hunted hard from as soon as I got there. Say it was 8, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We hunted from 9 till 9 the next day, because by 10 o'clock the quota was made. And oh, wow. It was shut down. So the season only lasted those 2 days.
Yeah.
And because the quota was obviously met and it was exceeded a little bit. And yeah, we hunted hard as heck, to say the least. I don't know how many miles I should have tracked it, but I drove home halfway to my camper and slept that morning. And I woke up with the worst leg cramps that you can ever imagine because, you know, we didn't have any food, barely any water, just hunted.
And trudging through that snow, too. I can't even imagine. Yeah. I get tired just going from my tree stand and back.
And it was like 24 inches of snow, of course, up there. So
you're using snowshoes and everything, though?
Didn't even have time. Just,
oh, my goodness.
Just bare minimum.
So you just got a nice workout.
It was a workout, but I thought I needed to go to the ER the next day. Like, I never had cramps like that, and I'm like panicking by myself in my little camper, freezing.
No. Well, that was after a 12-hour shift and all that drive time, and that
you gotta
was brutal.
You got to do it.
Mm-hmm. You do. If I had an opportunity, I definitely would do that.
And it's amazing, the amount of sign and stuff you see in Wisconsin. Like Nuge was saying, it is... quite overpopulated, way more than people think or what anybody else wants to hear. It's definitely a problem, you know, even further south of the state, but way up north, yeah, the deer herd, obviously the last bunch of years, I mean, you can talk to anybody that say that their herd has been hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing with Ontario. They're quite overrun up there, but my luck just wasn't on my side, so maybe we'll get back down the road. And
I don't know much about the population of wolves, so... How do you any idea around about how many tags were out there?
I'm trying to think. The quota was only like 100, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and about 200 were shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribes had 86, I want to say, something like that they had. And then the rest of us all got the you know, I think it was like, say, 100.
Yep.
And then, yeah, it was overshot because by the time they have to give 24-hour notice, mm-hmm. so I knew my zone was already closed the next day, but doesn't matter. You can hunt till 10 o'clock the next day. So we tried, and just didn't work. But, yeah, not a lot. But at that time, I think the DNR was saying there was a little over 2,000 wolves in the state.
Oh, nice.
But I think it's more than that. But
well, hopefully we can get some more.
It'd be fun.
Quotas this year and everything.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, we're getting close to the end. Fantastic to talk about the wolf hunting. I'm very excited. Hopefully we get to have you back and talk more about that with a successful hunt.
Sure.
Jace, you got anything to say to young kiddos out there that should be out there hunting and fishing?
Yeah, they should try going turkey hunting.
Try going turkey hunting?
That's it, though?
And they should also go like salmon fishing or bow fishing.
Yeah, to pretty much just get out there
just
and
everything.
Don't be scared,
yeah,
just right?
Get out
just
of the
go,
house, right?
Just go fishing.
Just go do it.
Go do it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Amanda. What about you? What do you got? You're gonna
take
go out turkey hunting.
ABC News. I'm Dave.